Thank you, Rabbi Berman. And there will be a minyan from Arav after. Okay. I was waiting. I'm not sure. Maybe Phil were right this week. How often it is statistically that Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos. I don't know the exact quotient to figure this out, but it's not. It is not an occurrence which happens. I'll say on an incredibly rare, but it does happen. The question that I want to deal with is what is the nature of Tisha B'Av when it does come out on Shabbos? And there really is a flip side of that question. What is the nature of Tisha B'Av on Sunday when it was pushed off of Shabbos? And we'll see that there may actually be a complete contradiction between the two sides of the coin. Actually, when I began to research this, I had come across a couple of different websites. I just looked to see, what do they say about the laws of this Tisha B'Av? Because there happens to be, as we'll see very soon, I'm not going to say a great deal of argument, but the arguments which exist are extreme from one side to the other. And I just took a look to see what it is that's out there, and I noticed that most of the websites, and I don't want to say any by name right now, but most of the websites that people would turn to look for information, for Jewish information, Jewish religious information, Orthodox information, were very simplistic. I mean, just for example, they were sufficiently simplistic that they were assuming that there are only Ashkenazim in the world, and none of them mentioned that there are things called Sfaradim. Sfaradim. Okay? Even within the Ashkenaz law, there is what's written on the top side of the page, and then there are the footnotes which are on the bottom. And sometimes footnotes can be important. I actually wrote a letter to one of the websites, actually to two of them, and they changed what they wrote. One of them changed the substance. The other one just wrote, "This is not for Sfaradim." That was... But if you take a look at the OU website now, apparently they put my name there after I complained about what was written. So I complained this, and now they said, okay, I wrote it. I didn't write it, but some of my complaints got put on the page or worked into it. What we're going to do is we're going to approach this topic as if we were rabbis. Of course, you have a disadvantage that you didn't prepare. And you have a disadvantage, unless you heard the Hebrew talk that I gave last week, which is the whole reason why this is taking place today, because Rabbi Berman, even though he loves Givat Zev, claimed he wasn't going to be there that night when I gave the talk last week in Hebrew. So then he said, well, can you do it in English? So I said, fine, I'll do it in English. I'll be here and there. So you all gained from him being busy one night 2 weeks ago. We're going to look at this as rabbis would look at a topic and trying to decide what halacha is, which means, in a sense, we're going to be poskim tonight. Now, there's a problem that not necessarily all of us are poskim, but we're going to try to approach it, and at the end of the day, I'm going to give suggestions. Everybody is free to accept my suggestions, not accept my suggestions. You're free to ask somebody else. You're free to complain to somebody else about what I said. All this is fine. We're going to start by looking at what I'll call the rabbinic information, or we can call it in Hebrew the tashtit, the foundation, which means what does the Gemara have to say about it? Now, in some halakhic discussions, you go back to the Torah. Obviously, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, this is something which is rabbinic, we're not going to start, although we could start in the Navi, we're going to start with the Gemara. I'm going to try to figure out, not regarding the entire corpus, what is Tisha B'Av, regarding this specific question, what happens when Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbat? The first opinion, which may or may not be relevant, and before I finish today, I'm going to come back to this opinion, which is a hint, which means I think it is relevant, and actually perhaps very relevant. It's a Gemara in Megillah, Daf Hei Amud Aleph, and then it continues Hei Amud Bet. And it tells us that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Bikesh La'akor Tisha B'Av. Rebbe wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. At face value, what the Gemara seems to be telling us is that Rebbe thought there should be no more Tisha B'Av anymore. Now, this is a discussion which I'm sure many of you have had at some points in your life. If we have a country today and we're free today and we have the Harabaya today, by the way, only two of those things were true, then there should no longer be a Tisha B'Av. Rebbe lives after the Churban. Would not be so easy for him to say it. The Gemara does not accept that's what he really meant. It qualifies it in the next line, and it says no. Rebbe Arba Bar Zavda said as follows. Amar l'fanu Rebbe Arba Bar Zavda, Rebbe lo kacho yamase, elo Tisha B'Av shachal lihiyot b'shabbat hava, v'dichinhu la'achar ha-shabbat. V'amar Rebbe, hoil v'nidche, yidche. And I'll translate in a second, but I'll just read the end of the line first. V'lo haldu chachamim, and the rabbis didn't agree with him. Essentially, this is what happened. Lo and behold, the 9th of Av came out on a Shabbos. And what happened? They pushed it off on Shabbos. Why? Because they pushed it off of Shabbos to Sunday. Why? Because you can't have Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. Shabbos, which is a Torah-mandated day, is not pushed aside due to the rabbinic Tisha B'Av. So it's pushed over to Sunday. So Rebbe said, once it's pushed, that's it. No more Tisha B'Av. Which means essentially what Rebbe is saying, if I'm understanding him correctly, that Tisha B'Av and Shabbos, when they conflict, what wins? Shabbos. What happens on that Shabbos? 100% Shabbos. Everything about it is Shabbos. So now, where is that Tisha B'Av? That's it. It's only the 9th of Av, which is the day that we should fast. If you can't do it on the 9th of Av, that's it. No Tisha B'Av. The rabbis didn't agree with him. And the rabbis apparently are saying that, no, we push it off to Sunday. Okay, that's the first rabbinic opinion that I want you to put on the side. The Yerushalmi is the second source that we're going to consider. The Yerushalmi says that on a year, like this year, when Tisha B'Av comes out on a Shabbos, there's no such thing in that year as Shavu'ah Shachal Bo Tisha B'Av. Which means, what is that? There are certain laws, again, for us, for Ashkenazim, begin 3 weeks before, certain things in 9 days, certain things the week of Tisha B'Av. Over here, the Yerushalmi says that if Tisha B'Av comes on Shabbos, there is no Shavu'ah Shachal Bo Tisha B'Av. Now, what does that mean? So, Shabbos is which day of the week? You can count from one. You can choose from 1 to 7. Good. Excellent. Shabbos is the 7th day of the week, which means that when a Shabbos, when Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, there's no Shavu'ah Shachal Bo Tisha B'Av. What is that telling us? That Shabbos is not Tisha B'Av. Yes, I know technically it is the 9th day of Av, but it's not the fast of Tisha B'Av. When is the fast? Like we saw the Chachamim said before. When is the fast? On Sunday. So the week before Tisha B'Av is not Shavu'ah Shachal Bo Tisha B'Av, because there is no Tisha B'Av on that Shabbos. The following week is not Shavu'ah Shachal Bo Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is already over on Sunday, so essentially you have Tisha B'Av and no week of Tisha B'Av. Now this Yerushalmi indicates, again, quite strongly, that the Shabbos, which is the 9th of Av, has no identity at all of Tisha B'Av. Third source. Third source is a Tosefta. That Yerushalmi, for those of you who are taking notes, none of you are, so I can make anything up. I'll warn you. Now, you're taping it. No, I warn you. No. Last time I gave a talk here, they didn't put a beautiful ad in the paper. They it was very short notice. And there were my parents and maybe three other people, right? Okay. There weren't so many people. But I said to my father, I'm going to put it online. Over 900 people listened to that talk since then. Okay, so then again, I talked about sex and about Esther and death and drinking, whatever. So don't worry. This will get a good title also. You don't know where I'm going with this yet. Anyway, the Yerushalmi is found in Ta'anit Perek Dalid,
halacha vav. The Tosefta is also in Ta'anit, Paragimah halacha yud gimel. Tisha b'av shachal liot b'shabbat.
So now finally it's going to deal with our question directly, not on a side point. There's no inference over here. He says it.
Tisha b'av shachal liot b'shabbat.
And some of you will be familiar with at least part of the formulation.
Ochel adam kol tzercho.
What does that mean? Eat it to your heart's content.
Vishote kol tzercho.
What does that mean?
Drink
to your heart's content.
Uma'ale al shulchano afilu kis'udat shlomo b'sha'ato.
And you can put on your table like King Solomon during one of his feasts. And then it ends up with another four words.
Ve'ein moneya me'atzmo klum.
And he doesn't have to hold back anything. Now, if it already said you can eat all you want, and it already said you can drink all you want, and already said you can act like King Solomon, so what does this come to add when it says ve'ein moneya me'atzmo klum? That you don't have to hold anything back. The Ramban reads this as follows. And this is the Ramban in Torah Ta'adam. He says as follows, Ve'eino moneh me'atzmo klum, pirush, she'eino moneh me'atzmo rechitza, v'sicha, v'tashmish, v'lo amrinan, d'verim shebitzina, noheg. That the person is allowed to, aside from eating, is allowed to wash themselves, allowed to put a lotion on themselves, is allowed to have sexual relations. And what is the point? That if, God forbid, somebody was sitting Shiva, so during the week of Shiva, Shabbos counts as one of the days of the Shiva. On the other hand, you're not allowed to have any kind of public expression of mourning, but you do have private expressions of mourning. So during the Shabbos of a Shiva, the person would not be permitted to have sexual relations. Over here, the Ramban is saying that sexual relations are allowed. Where did he get that from? Vo'enu moneh me'atzmo klum. Those extra words added in. Now, to be perfectly fair, the Gemara quotes the Tosefta and leaves out four words.
Amalek Shmuel, Tanaihi.
The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, this is Gemara in Tainis Kaf Teremivet.
Tisha b'av shachal liot b'shabbat, v'chein erev Tisha b'av shachal liot b'shabbat.
So just now added two cases. One case if it's Tisha b'av, other case is erev Tisha b'av. Means what happens on erev Tisha b'av? A normal year erev Tisha b'av, the most traumatic part of the year for my wife, and that's having to eat the egg. And the egg isn't bad enough with the ashes. I finally told you that the Vilna Gaon and the Maaser Rav said there wasn't no egg to eat the egg. And there wasn't no egg to eat the ashes. No more egg, no more ashes. You can also pray for Mashiach to come. You don't have to. Anyway, on Shabbos, which is Erev Tisha B'Av, do we have the Sudim of Sekes? Do we treat it as Erev Tisha B'Av? There are certain laws of Erev Tisha B'Av. Over here, the Gemara is telling us, because it added something that the Braisa that the Tosefta didn't say. It says Shabbos, which is Tisha B'Av, and Shabbos, which is Erev Tisha B'Av. Ochel v'shosa kol tzorcho umalel shulchanu afilu kisudas shlomo b'shato. And the Gemara continues on to some other side points, but the Gemara doesn't end up with those last couple words, v'einu moneya me'atzmo klum. But what does it say? It says this is a normal Shabbos. By the way, based on this Gemara, any of you want v'shalo shudas this year, which should end by approximately shkia, which is approximately 738, 739, you can look at your own calendars and factor in elevation, which makes it later. Significant elevation over here. Not all the calendars do. The Shalosh Shudas, you can eat meat, you can drink wine, you can have a meal, a festive meal, just like Shlomo HaMelech. Right? That's perfect, perfectly fine. Our big question that we've been debating for the menu for this coming Shabbos is maybe to have milchiks for lunch and then have meat in the afternoon. We're working it out. She's very silly. She says, you can't eat meat twice in one day. You know what? We won't have meat. Maybe I'll have chicken once. Okay, anyway. Now, listen carefully to the Rambam, and all of you now can become scholars,
because you'll notice right away what the Rambam does. Should I tell you what he does, or should I just read it? Okay, first we'll read it, and then you'll all see what he did. He writes as follows. Erev Tisha B'Av, Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat, Ochel V'Shoteh Kol Tzercho, Malo Shulchan Aruch, Filu Kesudat Shlomo. Erev Tisha B'Av, Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat, the day before Tisha B'Av, the 8th of Av, which is on the Shabbos, you eat and you drink Kol Tzercho, anything that you want, Malo Shulchan Aruch, Filu Kesudat Shlomo. V'chein Tisha B'Av Atzmo, Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat, Einu Mechaser Klum. And also, if Tisha B'Av comes on Shabbat, you're not deficient of anything. So what did the Rambam do? He took the two sources and he put them together. He took the Tosefta, he took elements of each. The Gemara talked about Erev Tisha B'Av, the Tosefta talked about Tisha B'Av. The Rambam talked about Erev Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av, but he also threw in the last line. Now, to make this easy for you, the vast majority of the Rishonim, either explicitly or implicitly, agree with what we saw in the Ramban. Which means, when I say explicitly, there are other Rishonim who say that one does not have any mourning on this day, and therefore relations are allowed. Others like the Rambam, who just say that this Shabbos, there's no mourning whatsoever, rather you're able to eat anything that you want. Apparently it never dawned on the Rambam to come in to say, oh, and by the way, you have to practice mourning privately. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Some say it explicitly, some implicitly. That is the dominant opinion that we find among the Rishonim. Such is the opinion of the Rif, of the Rush, of the Rambam. This is what we find. When we read a commentary on the Rambam, the Hagos Mamonios, is from the Balei HaTosfot. He writes as follows. The Rambam said you don't have to lack anything. Aval, Tashmish Amita, Katav HaRav Yitzchak Mivina. Anybody know who Rav Yitzchak Mivina was? It's the Or Zeruah. He said he wrote the Asur B'Shabbat Shechal Bal Tisha B'Av V'Nidcha Ad L'Machorato when it's pushed off. Why? Midi D'Hava'a Avil D'Amad Yoram Shebetzina Noheg. Because that Shabbos, according to the Or Zeruah, is a day of mourning. It's a day of mourning that you're allowed to eat. So he's claiming it's just like Shiva. That's what he's claiming. The Hagolos Mamonios says this is what the Or Zeruah says. And then he says, Ve'enu Nira Lemori, my Rebbe, my Rabbi Wurttemberg, didn't accept this. Umikol Makom Katav. And nonetheless, he wrote, She'en L'Shmo Alo B'Makom Rabbo. The Rabbi Wurttemberg says, don't listen to me when compared to my rabbi. And then he writes at the end, V'chein Bal HaRakeach Katav L'Heter. And also the Rakeach said that that it's allowed. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it's very clear to me that the Hagot Mamoniot agrees with the Rambam, and that's his V'chein over there. He quotes his teacher, who if we'll, and those of you who want the most accessible way to find it, the Rush over here goes into detail and quotes this opinion of the Or Zeruah. He quotes him and he argues with him. And you know why he argues with him? He says, because the Tosefta is black and white. How does the Rush read the Tosefta? Just like the Ramban read the Tosefta. Ve'enu monei me'atzmo klum. If the Tosefta wanted to say, but there's still private mourning, it would not have said, ve'enu monei me'atzmo klum. So essentially, this is the situation. This is what we have. We have three sources in rabbinic literature. We had Rebbe telling us, he would have gotten written, that's it, Tisha B'Av is gone that year. There's no Tisha B'Av whatsoever. We had the Rishonim saying there's no Shavuot Shechabal Tisha B'Av that year because Shabbos is not Tisha B'Av. If Shabbos had any elements of Tisha B'Av, then there should have been a Shavuot Shechabal Tisha B'Av. Correct? There's no Tisha B'Av that year. We have the Tosefta telling us Ve'enu Monei Me'atzma Klum. You don't hold yourself back in anything. You have the Gemara agreeing with it, but not quite necessarily using the exact same language. And then you have the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. Now, anybody who does have smicha, I would expect you to be able to answer the next question and pass it with flying colors. What does Rav Yosef Karo write? Right, this is Rabbi Quint, where we're underhanding and we're pitching or underhanding and letting them hint.
very easily. Because every student knows that the Rav Yosef Karo, his methodology of psak was, instead of considering every single opinion by every single rabbi, took who he considered to be the greatest three halachic opinions, namely the Rif, the Rush, and the Rambam. All three of them agree, that's going to be halacha. So, it should not come as an incredible surprise that the Beit Yosef, or for that matter, the Shulchan Aruch, will read as follows: Im chal tisha b'av b'shabbat, mutar b'kulan, you're allowed to do everything, afilu b'tashmish hamita, including having marital relations. Again, that should not be a surprise, because that was the conclusion based upon the various Gemaras, and that is going to be the conclusions based upon, shall we say, the dominant Rishonim. I mean, if you want to hear other Rishonim who say it, I'll just throw out one more. The Rashba says, somebody asks him a question. This is a response of the Rashba. Somebody asks, if Tisha B'av is on Shabbat, one is allowed to have relations? Near Elisha, ain't no gbo shuma velut. Daha, amrinim alei al shulchanol, kisudot shlomo b'shato. And he says a little bit more, but he says, that's it. There's no Tisha B'av on this day. Now, the two more Gemaras I want to read that for present time, you're not going to know what to do with them. But just I want them to be considered, and then we'll continue along and see what happened in the Shulchan Aruch. One Gemara is a Gemara in Tainus, also on page Kuf Tet Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan says as follows: Il mole hayiti ba'oto hador, had I lived in that generation, lo kivativ elo ba'asiri, I would have made Tisha B'av on the 10th of Av. That's where Rav Yochanan says. That would have been a better day. Why? B'nei sherubo shel heichal bol nisraf, because most of the destruction took place on the 10th day. V'rabbanon itchalta de paranuta adifa. And the rabbis, the other opinion was, we'll follow the beginning of it, and that's where the beginning one starts to burn, that's what we follow, and that's the 9th. So now this is a very interesting Gemara, because here you can have support to say, whoa, look at the opinion of Yochanan. Tisha B'av really should have been, the fast of the of really should have been on the 10th. I'm going to read another Gemara. This is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chet. The Gemara over here considers the question whether there should even be a fast at all in, I don't want to say which generation, whether it should be a fast at all. The tension that the Gemara introduces is based upon a verse in Zechariah. Rav Chana bar Bizna Amar Rav Shimon Chasida Mai Dichtiv Ko Amar Hashem, this is from the 8th chapter of Zechariah, Ko Amar Hashem Tzavakot Tzom HaRivi'i V'Tzom HaChamishi V'Tzom HaShvi'i V'Tzom HaAsiri Yeh LeBeit Yudel L'Sason L'Simcha. The fast of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become times of celebration and joy. So the Gemara asks, you know, what is it? Is it fasts or is it celebration? So then the Gemara goes in, well, it depends on what's going on in that generation. It depends if it's times of war, times of peace. Bizman sheyesh shalom, yilusasim l'simcha, ein shalom tzom, amar of papa, hachika amar. Bizman sheyesh shalom, yilusasim l'simcha. In times of peace, then it should be times of celebration. Yesh shmad, there's religious persecution, tzom, fasting. Ein shmad ve'ein shalom, if there's neither persecution nor real peace, ratzu mis'anin, if they wanted it, then there's a fast day, which apparently is the situation today. Ratzu ein mis'anin, but if they want, they shouldn't fast. The Gemara then says, Ihachi Tisha B'av Nami, the 9th of Av also should be subject to whether we want it or not. Amar of Papa, Shani Tisha B'av is different. Hoil v'hukfalu botzarot, because so many calamities took place on Tisha B'av year after year after year. I'm going to mention one more opinion, and then we'll really get into the Shulchan Aruch and the various opinions. There's an opinion in the Tashbetz who makes the following claim. He claims that if Tisha B'av is nidcha, right, pushed off, let's say Tisha B'av falls on a Shabbat, or for that matter, the 17th of Tammuz falls on a Shabbat. What happens? Then it gets pushed to the next day. Okay, I'll ask you a question. This at least you can play with. It's the only thing from the whole class you'll remember. If a kid becomes bar mitzvah on the 18th day of Tammuz this year, the 18th day of Tammuz, he became a bar mitzvah, right? Is he obligated to fast or is he not obligated to fast? What? The fast wasn't the 17th, the fast was the 18th. So is the 18th, is it the day to make up for the fast on the 17th, and the only people who are obligated are people who were obligated on the 17th? Or once it was pushed off to the 17th, it's placed on the 18th, and if he's bar mitzvah on the 18th, he's obligated to fast like everybody else. So just in case you don't know the answer, the Achronim play with this idea. There's a chuv of the Avnei Nezer that deals with this question. Listen to the way the Tashbetz solves this problem. He notes that in the Navi that we just now read in Zechariah, it didn't say the fast of the 17th of Tammuz, and it didn't say the fast of the 9th of Av. What did it call it? The fast of the 4th month and the fast of the 5th month. Ve'eino maspik ele im nosif nomar, shehanaviyim shehitkenu tzomar vi lo yichdu beze eze yom, v'nicho adav amasor lebeitin, letaltelo mi yom el yom el tzara. Kiyotziba, right? Bein shetia b'tishabav, o b'yom achar, kol shiba oto chodesh adav masur b'yadan likvoa b'yom, as they see fit. Basically, what did he say? He claims that the fast, remember the question I asked about the bar mitzvah kid? He claims that if the kid became bar mitzvah on the 18th, he'd be obligated to fast. Again, he doesn't say it like that. That's not what he's dealing with directly, but why? Because he's saying that the fast day was dependent upon when the rabbis determine when in that month would be the appropriate day. If that's the case, if the Tashbetz is correct, then this year, Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbat. The rabbis determine it can't be on Shabbat. It's on the 10th of the month. So therefore, the 10th of the month is the real Tisha B'Av, 100%. And by the way, then what happens? The 9th of the month has no identity whatsoever of Tisha B'Av. This Tashbetz is interesting, but as far as I can tell, completely irrelevant in terms of the way that the post can actually deal with the question. Okay, let's go back and see now what happens in the Shulchan Aruch. I read already the beginning of it, what Rav Yosef Karo says, and I want to be careful now. Anybody here who is Sephardic, predominantly the Sephardic opinion follows Rav Yosef Karo, rare exceptions where some communities, individual communities won't, but predominantly it follows Yosef Karo. And I'll read again. Imchal tisha b'av b'shabbat mutar b'kulan afilu b'tashmish hamita v'yesh osrim tashmish. Okay, sorry. Rama. Now Rav Moshe Isselush comes in and tells us Ashkenaz custom. V'yesh osrim tashmish hamita v'chein nohagin. And that is the custom. So now, something interesting happened over here. It was very predictable that Rav Yosef Karo will tell us what the Rambam and the Rif and the Rush paskind. That's what he does. What did the Ramah do? Now, the Ramah very often will follow what is local Ashkenazic custom or customs that he's aware of, customs that he grew up with. And over here he says, this is the custom. He's not the only one. The Levush also paskins this way. And what they did is essentially they followed the Or Zeruah. Now again, the Or Zeruah's own students, or at least student, did not like what he said. They felt that he was wrong. But essentially the way that it's articulated, listen, Churban Beit HaMikdash is something significant. One day a year will be machmir like the Or Zeruah, even if we don't agree with him. That was basically what it came down to. And therefore, we find this Ashkenaz custom. Now, I want to be very clear. As far as I can tell, the Ashkenaz custom in question goes absolutely against the rabbinic sources. When I say rabbinic sources, I mean the Talmudic sources, the Tosefta, the Yerushalmi, Bavli. It goes against the rabbinic sources that we saw. Nonetheless, we find this custom. What happens in such a case? Now, the first thing that's going to happen is that sometimes, and this is very important, Sometimes a person's going to think, you know what, I'll be machmir on something. But of course, we don't live in a vacuum. And sometimes when you're machmir in one area, you're going to end up being lenient in a second area. And that's something that we have to be very careful about. One of the first people who raised this question was the Shlach HaKadosh. The Shlach says he was asked a question about a woman who was supposed to go to mikveh Friday night, Tisha B'Av. Ashkenazi custom is not to have relations. So what does the Shlach HaKadosh say? He said, I told her to go to mikveh, and I told her husband that they can have relations. Why? Because in such a case, relations is a mitzvah from the Torah. So this rabbinic, or not even rabbinic, this custom, which is a stringency in one area, would end up being a leniency in another area. So the Shlach said, in such a case, I instructed her absolutely go to mikveh. Which means it's nice to be machmir, but again, what is going to be the price over here? I'll read the Shlach. Amnam kishi'ir le'ishto tfilat mitzvah nira shelo yefrosh me'ishto. V'gdolam izu, hitarti tfila le'isha belel Tisha B'Av shechal liyot b'Shabbat. V'katafti rayot b'makom acher. So the Shlach is telling us this is what he decided. The Magen Avraham introduces this Shlach into, let's say, the Ashkenazic later opinions. He quotes the Ramah, and he says, "Upasak b'Shlach de'im nizdam nelel tefilat belel Shabbat zu tevelot u'mishameshet yesh l'smoch al svara harishona." He says because one can rely on the first opinion. What was the first opinion? The Mechaber. Why can you rely on the Mechaber? Because it's the opinion of the majority of the Rishonim. Why can you rely on the Mechaber? Because it's the opinion that emerges from the Gemara. By the way, anybody who has, this is not Rabbinics 101, this is already Rabbinics 201, anybody who has a sensitivity to know how the Vilna Gaon will approach Halacha, this will be harder, so I'm not going to ask for volunteers from the audience. What will the Vilna Gaon do with a halacha like this? The Vilna Gaon's approach generally is to go back and say, what does the Gemara want from me? The Vilna Gaon, therefore, will find very often argued with Achronim, ignored Achronim, argued with Rishonim, and he went back and he said, what does the Gemara want? And when he felt the Jewish practice was deviating from the Gemara, he went back and reinstituted the Gemara. Over here, it should come as no surprise that the Vilna Gaon writes, "V'loshen atosefta sof ta'anit Tisha B'Av shechal liyot b'Shabbat ocha v'chulei ocha v'shote v'chulei v'chulei ve'ein monei ma'atzmo klum behedya heter hakol." He says, "Heter hakol." He says, "Everything is allowed," which means, what did the Vilna Gaon do? He agrees with the Beis Yosef. The Vilna Gaon said, "It's very nice the Rama wants to be machmir. I think his chumra is a kula. I think his chumra goes against the Gemara." Tisha B'Av, according to the Vilna Gaon, if it comes on Shabbos, is only Tisha B'Av regarding the calendar. It is the ninth of Av. No laws whatsoever of mourning exist. There are other issues, by the way, that come up as well, including learning. Are you allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av? So there are those opinions you'll say you can't learn happy things. You can't learn happy things in the afternoon. Sometimes the Vilna Gaon says, this is a chumra yetera. He says, no, he just completely throws it away. He says, absolutely not, he does not accept this. And he says, one is allowed to learn on this Shabbos. One is permitted to learn on this Shabbos. It is not a fast day. It is not a day of mourning. It's Shabbos. And when the Gemara and the Tosefta tell you, you can eat and you can drink and you don't have to hold back in anything, right? That means that it's Shabbos 100%. Now, on the other hand, and this is where people will get upset with me, okay, so we have a Ramah, which is bona fide Ashkenazic custom, based on a minority. So that becomes the tension. Ashkenazic custom based on a minority versus something which at face value is more authentic or more legitimate. I'm sorry for using these terms, but if you have better terms for me to use, I'd be very happy to use them. Late other Achronim are then going to find more and more cases and more reasons to be lenient on this Ramah. For example,
For example, I believe it was the Chai Adam. Give me a second. Chai Adam writes, Erev Tisha B'Av Shechal Li'o Pishabat, O Tisha B'Av Shechal Pishabat V'Nidcha, Ein Lo Klal Shum Din Tisha B'Av, V'Ocho B'Asa V'Shota Yayin Afil B'Mincha, V'Bumnei Atzma Mishum Avil Avei Rabi Yado. Now this is very interesting because he's about to back down from it. He says that if Tisha B'Av comes on Shabbos, you eat and you drink, you can even have meat for Shalosh Shudas, like I said before, and if you hold anything back, if you say, you know what, I think for Shalosh Shudas I only have a hard-boiled egg, and maybe some ashes. He says, that is a sin. He goes, that is an Avera. If a person treats Shabbos as if it's a day of mourning, he says, that is an Avera. And then he backs down. And he says, "Umikom makom lo yashav v'sudat chaverim." He goes, nonetheless, don't invite guests. V'lo yinhog b'simcha. And don't be too happy. In the next sif, he writes,
"Who is this?
This is the Chai Adam. Yesh omim da asur b'tashmi shamita kmo avel. Though some say that one does not have relations like somebody who is in mourning. The old verb b'shibetzina that you follow things mourning which are private. V'chein ogin. He says then that is indeed the custom. The amnam, however, kishachal leil tefila b'shabbos yesh matirim." But if it's the Lel Tefillah, then it's allowed. Venerally, the Afagav de Kaimulim is minus 1 second. Right. In a footnote, he then continues and says as follows. When the Ramah says that the custom is not to have relations, Hainu b'makom she'en kan mitzvah ona. That's only if there is no mitzvah of ona. Mitzvah of a husband satisfying his wife. Shreyochu l'kayim etmo. Avol b'lel tefillah, the azu mitzvah ona, bizman. Bizeh ein kan minhug. Because in that case, there is no minhug. V'imkein yesh l'smoch alamatirin. V'nirili duhu hadin bevo min haderech. So he just now raised it a little bit. And he says, but there's also, this. If you don't know this, then you messed up on your chassin or kala class. It's never too late to have a refresher course. He says, there's also a mitzvah of ona, mitzvah of, probably from the Torah, of satisfying one's spouse, when a person comes back from a trip. So he says it's not just in a case where the woman went to mikveh that night. Was there other cases of mitzvah of ona which should overwhelm this custom? I saw a book the other day that you'll see right away. It's contemporary or relatively contemporary, because he raises the question: what about a husband who goes up to the Catskills for the weekend? That's the question that he raises. He goes, is that considered coming from a trip? Is that considered a mitzvah of ona? Is that, and he ends up saying it is a mitzvah of ona. So he says, therefore, anybody who goes up to the Catskills, by the way, it's not only the Catskills that he's talking about. It's not some special thing about Grossingers. But nobody says the same thing. If the husband's been away from the wife for the entire week, and now he says this is a mitzvah of ona. He goes, here is a mitzvah. So essentially what the Achronim then are doing, yeah, the Ramah says the custom is not to have relations unless there's a reason to have relations. He then goes one step further. I know you're all going to want to see the sources afterwards. He says, V'imken kam b'vayde gam ha'isha mitaveh. He goes, if the woman's in the mood as well, then there's a mitzvah. He goes, that's a mitzvah from the Torah. Because if a husband feels that his wife is in the mood, he goes, "Ukishim etaveh as he mitzvah dono." That's a mitzvah. He goes, "Ulchein nearly asomich b'zeh alamatirin lo hifsid." He goes, therefore, you can rely on this. So basically, what did the chayyadim just now do? Well, let's put it this way: if she's not in the mood, okay, then it's not happening anyway. So, I mean, if you appreciate what he just now did, is he essentially said that if the husband is in the mood, sorry, if the wife is in the mood, then it's mitzvah vona. So therefore, that would overwhelm the custom of the Ramah. He then ends up saying, v'hakol lefi mashehu adam. It all depends on how much of a man he is, which means how much he can control himself, which he actually contradicted himself, because the phrase before was, it depended upon her.
The Mishnah Berurah, by the way, brings the Chai Adam. He brings him in the Mishnah Berurah, he brings him in the Shaar Tzion. He ends up relying on this opinion as well, which basically, now you'll understand, I don't know why we're ringing. Now you'll understand why I had difficulties with some of the websites. What do they all write? According to Ashkenazic custom, having relations is prohibited on Tisha B'Av, which comes on Shabbos, which is right, except for all the cases it's not right. And all the opinions that don't agree with it, including all the rabbinic opinions, most of the Rishonim, and many, many, all Sfaradim, many Achronim, except in some specific cases. So what it really comes down to is how exactly do you go about passing halacha? The Kaf HaChaim was a Sfaradi. And he also takes note of some of these things, but I don't see it right now. And he also said, be very careful that you're not going to get to a chumrah that would end up being a kula. Which means he says that when you create forbidden fruit, which is, again, an interesting psychological perspective, he says you create forbidden fruit, you end up creating people who desire forbidden fruit. And he goes, by saying that something is not allowed, you may end up making more trouble than it's worth. And therefore, he also ends up saying that it's not allowed unless, meaning the custom is not to for Ashkenazim unless they want to, and then it's okay. I mean, which means he ends up saying, make sure your chumra is not a kula. Now, everything that we've seen tonight, I just want to put everything in order, and then we'll get to one or two more questions, and then we'll end, and then we'll have Marv. What is it that we saw? We saw something which, again, in my mind is very interesting. We see a dominant approach in terms of rabbinic literature. We see an overwhelming expression in terms of Rishonim. We see a minority opinion in terms of Rishonim. We see that minority opinion and the students of the one who said the minority opinion saying it really doesn't make much sense to us because, again, what was his analogy? His analogy, it should be the same thing as when you're mourning for a parent. What's the problem? When you're mourning for a parent, you have a parent who passed away and that's the mourning took place. Over here, the whole question, is it Tisha B'Av or not? Which means the analogy is a little bit circular. There only is private mourning if that's the day of mourning. If it's not a day of mourning, so then why is there private mourning? Which means if Tisha B'Av was pushed off to the next day, there is no private mourning. Again, that's what I'm saying is that why the students of the Ora Zeruah had difficulty with the Ora Zeruah. Nonetheless, we find something interesting. Tradition, as Tevye would say. This became the tradition. This became the custom. Nonetheless, the Achronim who know this is the tradition say, but this tradition is not so simple because this tradition is going to lead us to cases against halacha. And to be machmir in one case is going to lead you to be lenient in another case. And therefore, what the Achronim end up saying is that the obligation of ona in various cases overrides this particular custom. And one should, again, be careful before just saying, oh, this is absolutely not permitted. Now, based on everything that I've said so far, what would our conclusion be? Based upon the first question that I raised. Tisha B'Av, when it falls on Shabbos, is it Tisha B'Av or just the ninth day of Av in the calendar? Is there any kind of element of Tisha B'Av? And basically what we have seen, that it's not. So now, therefore, what should be the result? The result should be that now the 10th day of Av is Tisha B'Av 100% in every way, shape, and form. Correct? But it's not. So let's just try to look at a couple of sources that will indicate this. Yeah, I'll read to you the Kaf HaChaim. I just found it. He says, V'nira de'imhu adayin bachur v'yesh lo ta'ava v'yesh l'chush l'shich v'zer l'vata l'chas v'shalom v'ada yesh l'tir m'shim d'chum r'da'ati l'day kulahu. He says that there are situations where here, if the husband is very much in the mood, he's talking about somebody who's young and oversexed, which in our generation may not necessarily only be young people. So he says, therefore, it's better to allow it.
Talking about
He's talking about on Shabbos on the 9th. We're not allowing it on Tisha B'Av, not yet. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch in Simin Tav Kuf Nun Tet Sif Tet writes as follows: Tisha B'Av shechal liot b'Shabbat v'nidche liyom rishon bal brit mitpalel mincha ve'od hayom gadol v'rochets ve'enu mashlim ta'anito l'fisha yom tov shelohu. If somebody has a brit, so this would be the father of the baby, this would be the sandik. Somebody who has a brit, they daven mincha early, they can change, they can shower, they can eat, and they don't on Tisha B'Av, if it's Sunday. This is Tisha B'Av, which was on Shabbat, pushed off to Sunday. He says, and why? Yom Tov Shalohu, it's his holiday. Now, I can assure you that on a regular year on Tisha B'Av, this law does not exist. On a regular year, if there's a brit on Tisha B'Av, we make the brit towards the evening, and then the eating is pushed off until Tisha B'Av is over. What do you see over here? This is the Machaber writing, which means the Machaber was the one who said that it is not Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, and everything is allowed on Shabbos. What's he saying now? That Shabbos wasn't Tisha B'Av, but what else is he telling you? That Sunday is also not Tisha B'Av. By the way, listen to the Mishnah Berurah on this, and this is very important. In the Bir Halacha, he writes about the father who does not have to push, who does not have to finish his fast. He writes, V'chein b'choli k'tzat. Similarly, could somebody help me translate? By the way, it's not that I don't know, I just want you to say it. What does choli k'tzat mean? Somebody who doesn't feel well can break their fast. He writes, V'chein b'choli k'tzat. U'me'uberet sheyesh michush k'tzat. Mutarim le'echol. And he says in the name of Akiva Eger. Somebody who's pregnant, again, please help me, because I don't want to translate it. Mu'uberet sheyesh michush k'tzat. What does michush k'tzat mean? Michush k'tzat. Rabbi Quint, I'm going to put you on the spot. Michush k'tzat means, again, correct me. Okay, I'll say it and you correct me. I'll put my father on the spot. She doesn't feel perfect. Michush k'tzat. This isn't chole. This isn't somebody lying in bed. Michush k'tzat means they don't feel well, but it is a very low level of not feeling well, which means michush k'tzat. A michush is not the same thing as ke'ev. Ke'ev means pain. Michush. Excuse me? Is there a doctor here? There's no doctor. Michush k'tzat. My point is that for a sick person, what did he say? Again, for a sick person, what did he say? V'chein b'choli k'tzat. What does that mean? What's the point? The point is that Tisha B'Av, which is nidche, is not on the same level as a Tisha B'Av, which was not nidche. Which means the level that somebody doesn't feel well does not have to be anywhere nearly as... Somebody came over to me last week and said to me that they are diabetic and they only fast on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. I said, you can drink. You're absolutely fine to drink. No, again, to drink, drink, drink. It's absolutely fine to drink. Over here, this is what's important to know. Now, when I thought about this, there's a contradiction. Because according to the meaning, if we had the Beit Yosef, if we had Rav Yosef Karo sitting in the room, what would we say to him? Okay, make up your mind. Which day is Tisha B'Av? Was it Shabbos or was it Sunday? And what happened to Tisha B'Av this year? And it would end up being that it was neither. Which means, who was the opinion who said... Correct. This would seem to be clearly against the opinion of the Tashbetz, who says whichever day in the month they make it, that is the day of the fast. But we see the Machaber doesn't hold like the Tashbetz. He holds that Tisha B'Av is a nidcha. It is not the same. We see the same thing in the Mishnah Berurah. It is not the same. This does remind us of Rebbe, which means I told you in the beginning, Rebbe, keep it to the end. Rebbe says that he would have pushed Tisha B'Av off completely. There would be no Tisha B'Av that year. Well, guess what? There's no Tisha B'Av this year. What we have is on Shabbos, there are certain customs that some people have, some people don't have. Sunday, we have fasting, correct? We have fasting, we have certain halachos, but it is not a complete Tisha B'Av. Now the reality is, and I'll just end with this, you know, every year we hope and we say that next year Tisha B'Av will be a celebration. Well, this year Tisha B'Av could be a celebration. This year, you can, on the 9th of Av, you can eat and you can drink and you don't have to hold back on anything. Leave it at that. We don't have to hold back on anything. And Amir Tzah Hashem, every year in Tisha B'Av should end up being the same thing. If you want my own personal halakhic conclusion on everything that I've said, it may have been obvious, may have not. In case it's not, I will say it clearly. And that is, I am very sympathetic to the approach of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon essentially saying, this is what the Gemara says, this is what the majority of the Rishonim say. He brings the Tosefta black and white. Very nice, the Or Zerur wants to be machmer against the Tosefta, but he just does not believe that that is authentic, and therefore I think that it's we are on very, very firm ground in following the Vilna Gaon. Somebody wants to be machmer, make sure that they're not being makel at the same time they're being machmer. V'hamevin yavin. As far as Sunday goes, Sundays is a fast day. We treat it as Tisha B'Av. We'll sit on the floor. We'll do all kinds of things like Tisha B'Av. But if somebody doesn't feel well, then just realize that the bench is much, 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 much lower in terms of ability to be lenient when somebody doesn't feel well. And therefore, it's not a question of being absolutely ill, absolutely sick, of putting yourself in bed. It is a much lower threshold that is considered to be one that a person can break the fast, and therefore nobody has to be a hero in this particular, shall we say, climate. Yes?
I was wondering, is there any aspect of
Chatzot
in that case?
On the 11th?
On the 11th? No.
Right, right. So therefore, the 11th, there's
no,
nothing. Right, the 11th is absolutely nothing.
No, but specifically now, this year, on the 10th.
Right.
On Sunday,
on Sunday, we treat it like Tisha B'Av for everything. We sit on the floor in the evening, in the morning, till Chatzot, and then we get up by Chatzot. That there's no difference. The difference is that in a normal year, Tisha B'Av is over at night. There are still certain things. Why? Because the Beis Hamikdash is still burning. You know what? See, I'll finish with this. I can explain this to you, perhaps, conceptually. Do you remember the Gemara that said that if we want to fast, we don't want to fast, but Tisha B'Av is different? Why was Tisha B'Av different? Because so many bad things happened on that day. Which day? On the 9th. Which means only the 9th is really Tisha B'Av. That's what the meaning, with all, again, all due respect to the Tashbeitz, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, why do we not have a choice when it comes to Tisha B'Av? Because so many bad things happened on which day? On the 9th of Av, so many bad things happened. So therefore, when the fast does now come out on the 9th, it's not Tisha B'Av. We're making up the fast, but it's not Tisha B'Av. It becomes something else, and therefore it is a different day. And that would seem to be the reason why the person who's making the bris, it's not the same thing as Tisha B'Av. Because when the person's making the bris, he says, no, that's his holiday. But what happened? It's Tisha B'Av. No. It's not Tisha B'Av. When is Tisha B'Av? It's only on the 9th. But what happens on a year that Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos? It's not on the 9th. So guess what? Rebbe was right. Okay. Hopefully, the fast of the 4th, the 5th, the 7th, and the 10th will become times of Sason and Simcha. Mariv.
Men have to stay. You have no choice, Mrs. Quinn said.